And we should enable comparison of a trend. 10-year-olds are shorter than 12-year-olds using a line graph, and avoid the conflation of the meaning by using the wrong visualization. Next slide. Slide 50. Line graphs are particularly useful because even in a very small form, we can see the shape of the line. Tufte calls these spark lines. They give an idea of the trend. So even without showing the axis and the scale, we can actually put these in a small representation and still see the differences. So these are really good for dashboards and small spaces. Next slide. We can also use dense layouts. I won't talk much about these, but it's a good example of what we call a heat map, where we use a color value, a color to encode value in a particular spatial region, in this case, cells in a matrix. So this uses two categorical keys on the rows and columns to look up the cell value. And color to encode the value. So it's good for dense encoding. And we can reorder this to get a sense of clusters. Very difficult to calculate the individual values, though. This is not good for being able to do a comparison between values. It is really good at being able to see sort of distribution of a lot of data. So it is good at seeing the composition elements of the display. We won't actually be looking at these very much, but it's a good example of a heat map. Next slide. A more common form are space-filling displays. Now, the important thing about space-filling displays is that the spatial location does not encode value, except for the size. So in this case, where it is relative to something else doesn't matter. One very common example is a tree map. It uses one key, categorical key, the color, and uses size to show the value and supports hierarchy. Now, it's very hard to compare individual values because we're not good at area, but we can see sort of the distribution of the range of values, and we get a sense of the part whole. We'll come back to tree maps when we talk about networks and trees. Next slide. But a more common space, packed space, display or packed bubbles. Again, it uses a key and a value. Size is the value and color is the categorical key to support dense screen packing. Supports comparison at a fairly coarse level of granularity because we're not good at fine-tuned comparisons, but we can see the very big ones as opposed to the very small ones. And it does give us a sense of how our data are composed, what sort of the general composition and part whole of the data are. We can certainly see where we think the bigger values are and the smaller values. Next slide. And then there's pies. Another form of layout, possibly the most common form of visualization, is the radial layout of the pie chart. Radial layouts use the circumference of a circle as the axis. So you consider that that's a 360 degrees around the circle axis. These are polar coordinates in which the distance from the center to the end of the angled spoke, if you like, or vector, can show value, and the categorical or ordinal key is plotted, aligned along the circular axis. Next slide. Examples of radial layouts are star plots, in which the key, again, categorical key, is the point on the circumference. It has spokes from the center out, so the value is the length of the spoke, and it can use color or thickness for an additional categorical key, right? Radar plots are like star plots, again, has two keys, the point on the circumference, and we can add color for this. But instead of doing it as spokes, it actually connects the points as vertices, and so what we see are the different kinds of shapes of the data, right, of each of the combined categories. And the value is the distance of the vertex, or the point, from the center as usual. So we can find values in this in terms of composition. It does support composition. We can see the individual values. Pretty difficult to compare, because we're not very good at detecting length differences on an angular alignment, but fairly dense for being able to handle a fair amount of information in a small space, particularly with radar plots. If it gets too small, we can't see the angular differences, so they're not very effective. Next slide. By far, the most common form of a radial layout is the pie chart. We use one key, typically color, for a categorical key, and we use the value, which is the angle in the area, and of course the distance of the arc, to show value. Now, what pie charts are really good for is showing part-whole relationships. We're pretty poor at everything else because we're very bad at judging area, angle, and arc length. Right? So we're not good at being able to say the relative values of these. If I were to ask you the relative value of these, you might say, oh, well, kind of looks like 60-40, but I'm not sure. A much better way to show it, if I'm looking at this next slide, slide 58, is to actually map it into a bar chart, slide 59, which gives us a really good sense of the relative values. So we have to be careful what we use pie charts for. Slide 60. Stephen Few gives us 5 criteria for an effective visualization form. Clearly indicate the nature of any relationship, represent the quantities accurately, make it easy to compare them, make it easy to see the rank order of the values, and make it obvious to see how people should use the information. Let's consider a pie chart as an example of this, slide 61. First of all, here is a 3D pie chart showing total deaths in America divided by their causes, right? And you can see that we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 causes. It's already getting a little dense. So, does this clearly indicate the nature of the relationship? Yes, it does. The primary strength of a pie chart is the fact that it clearly indicates the part whole. Does it accurately represent the quantities? Slide 62. No, it doesn't. Pie charts encode values redundantly through the use of the 3 visual attributes I mentioned. Even when these are calculated correctly, we can't perceive any one of these 3, area, angle, or arc length, accurately, and therefore, it's because our visual perception hasn't evolved, so we can't calculate the quantities accurately. Next slide. Does it make it easy to compare the quantities? Well, no, it doesn't, because we can't calculate the quantities easily. We also can't compare them accurately. And because a legend has been used to label the slices, we have to keep looking it up. By finding the right color, we have too many categories, and it gets very difficult to discriminate, for example, between the different levels of blue and the different levels of orange. Right? The 3D makes it actually much worse because the ones on the front look larger than the ones in the back, or the ones in the bottom appear larger and more salient than the ones on the top. Next slide. Can we see the ranked values? No, even though they have ranked them along the circumference in a clockwise order, we really can't see it because we can't compare the slices, right? And the 3D rendering of this makes it worse because it gives the ones at the front bottom more visual weight. So this is often an effect that is used to mislead people with visualization. We call this lying with visualization. Next slide. Does it make it easy to see how people should use the information? Well, again, partially. If what you want is the part whole, then in fact it does give you a sense of, at least at a coarse granularity, the relative contribution of the slices. But it doesn't support any of the other operations because you can't actually calculate to what extent that part whole contribution contributes. So that secondary encoding that we saw in stacked bars where it's difficult, it's even worse in pie charts. Next slide. So we could probably do it better if we just put all of this in a bar chart, which gives us a really good sense of the relative values. However, if what we want is the part whole insight, the bar chart does not support that. So if we wanted to support both of them, we should actually have a bar chart and the pie chart to give us a sense of both. And that would be a way in combination to meet all of Few's criteria for representing these data. Next slide. I want to speak very quickly about what we call reference structures. These are typically grids and lines, annotations, labels, and other kinds of elements that aren't critical to the visualize to the actual data, but they let us judge the data. Most of the time we make these too visible and too obvious. We can actually make them almost invisible. On the right-hand side of the bar chart on slide 67, you can see that what I've done is actually very lightly just put white lines to segment my bars. It is still immediately perceptible. So this is also a design element to keep in mind when we're putting our visualizations together. Next slide. Finally, in summary, what design idiom we choose is governed by what kinds of data we have, what kinds of tasks we want to support, and what kinds of questions and insights we want to elicit. I put a link here to a very nice little website called The Chart Chooser that helps you explore different visualizations, but this network graph will at least give you a general idea of the kinds of design choices that you might make depending on what kinds of things you want to do with the data.